upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Together, the Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we are thankful for the blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives. Where your blessing is, the curse cannot be. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, O God, that you have saturated our lives with the blessing that causes us, O God, to walk blessed at all times, in our going out and in our coming in, because you are sovereign Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and finisher of blessings. You abide in us and with us. And therefore, Lord of God, this day we are thankful that your blessings are not only bestowed upon us, operational in our lives, but now, Lord of God, they are operational in the lives of our children, our children's children. For every generation, the blessing has spoken. And Lord, O God, we walk into the fullness of that goodness in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. Thank you, Father, O God, for our time of study tonight. Let it be profitable. Let it cause us, O God, to rise up into new levels and dimensions of your favor in every sphere and in every area. This is our declaration by the authority of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are in the book of Colossians, and it would be a good thing if we're able to finish this chapter today. We hope we can. And we're going to pick it up from where we stopped last week. We came from verse 1 right through verse 8. And the main thrust of what we're talking about was cued in to us from the very first verse, where it says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." And when we talked about that, we talked about the promise that is linked into that message. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." We looked at that particular verse. I don't want to go through it again for the interest of time. And because once I get started, I'm going to keep on digging deeper. So I'll encourage you to look at the study from Wednesday last. The thrust of our discourse was on the fact that God says here that we have to be fair. We have to deal with people fairly. We have to honor them for their services. And we looked at that passage and corresponding following verses and talked about volunteers, talked about tipping and all kinds of other ramifications connected to that statement. But we looked at the promise aspect of it, that we can, just like the Word of God says, if you don't work, don't eat. We can look at that and say, okay, well, you're not working, don't eat. Or you can look at it from the flip side and say, God, I want to eat, so give me a job. Amen? And here we can look at this and say, Lord, I want to pay my workers a fair wage and treat them properly. So, Lord, give me the right businesses and the resources, the finances, bless my business, make it profitable so I can do right by the ones that are working for me. Not necessarily based on what the world pays, but what God wants to give to the worker, how God wants you to be a blessing to them. Now, Paul goes through all of that, and he begins to talk about his particular situation, how he was in a state where things were really rough and tight, but nonetheless he was fervent in faith. He continued because he was working for God. God was his master. And that's one of the things that we looked at. I'm working as unto the Lord. It's not that businessman or that company. Whatever it is I'm doing as unto the Lord. Therefore, I'm in God's hire. And therefore, my reward has to come from the Lord. That rather than attacking our natural masters, if we're working for somebody, for this or for that, that we can trust God to be the one who sources us, resources us, provides for us, and helps us. Now, when we come to verse 9, where our verse for continuation is, Paul has talked about in verse 7 how he sent Tychicus to them to find out their state and to let them know also how he was doing. And he says, I've sent to you also not just Tychicus to find out how you were doing and to comfort your hearts, but I've sent to you Onesimus. Now, he talks about Onesimus and says, Onesimus is a faithful and beloved brother. The name Onesimus means profitable, useful. So he's saying this man is a profitable man. He's a faithful man. He's a beloved brother. And he says, who is one of you? He says, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. They're going to give you a report of what is happening with the ministry here. Even though I'm in bonds, how we are still, in spite of the shut door, breaking forth the things that God is doing, how we are impacting lives, and so on and so forth. People sometimes need a report of what's going on and how things are transpiring. Not only with their resources, how their resources are being used, but how lives are being impacted. I try at the end of every year to give a general perspective of what is happening, so we know how God carried us through the year. So he's saying here, I've sent you somebody. He's a faithful man. He's a beloved brother. He's one who's answering his name. He's profitable. He's done well here. And he's going to come and he's going to let you know how things are going. And now he begins to talk about a brother that was with him. His name is Aristarchus. Aristarchus. Aristarchus, the name Aristarchus means the best ruler. This is a good leader. And he says, he's a fellow prisoner with me. We are both in prison together, this leader. He says, he saluted you, and Marcus, Caesar's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. Marcus is also sending greetings. Marcus is related to Barnabas. Barnabas is an amazing man of God. When Paul had basically toss stuff, Marcus. It's useless to me. Barnabas took him up and nurtured him. And Paul is going to say later on, this guy is a good guy. He's a good guy. He's been very helpful. Barnabas is a helper. His name means son of rest. And Paul says, I'm going to send you Mark. Mark is going to fill you in. And when he comes, please receive him. I know what I've said about him before. but disregard whatever I said about this guy before. It's a new guy. He's born again, really. Hallelujah. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. That's interesting. And Jesus, which is called justice. Who are of the circumcision? The circumcision, that's not what Paul was about. Paul did not plug into the circumcision then. But this is a brother from the other side. It's like from a different denomination. And he says, but we are fellow workers. We don't always agree. But we're about Jesus. Today we fight about all kinds of crazy stuff. People split, won't talk to each other. How do you baptize? I baptize in Jesus only. Oh, no. You got to baptize in the name of the Father, and then the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. Or it's not real. And people fight. Do you speak in tongues? Yes. Oh, no. That's of the devil. Well, circumcision and uncircumcision, that was just as bad. But here Paul is writing and says, and Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, they're of the other group. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. We believe differently, doctrinally, but they accept me. That I'm about Christ. I'm preaching about Jesus. So he comes alongside and joins me. That's like the Baptists and the Pentecostals working together. Or the Catholic and the Pentecostal working hand in hand. Well, don't say your Hail Mary full of grace around me. Let's just talk about Jesus. Yeah, it's about Jesus. It's not about Mary. Mary didn't die on the cross. Jesus did. I believe in honoring Mary. And hell, you guys, yeah, you should honor her, but you're doing it too much. Okay. Do we believe in Jesus? Yeah. Is he the one who died on the cross? Yes. Is he the one that we're preaching about? Yes. Okay, you're my brother. Let's go do that. You do your no Mary, I'll do my Mary. But right now, we're about Christ. You know what? When the world begins to persecute the church, we'll forget about our doctrinal lines. And remember who we are. You believe in Christ Jesus? Yes, okay, you're my brother. We may not all agree on everything, but let us measure on that which we agree on. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We're about a master who's Lord over us all. Let's work together. We are fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. That's amazing. Because there are people who celebrate other people's pain. Well, if he only had more faith and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I thought he was a believer. I thought he had faith. Why did he die? Why did he have cancer? Why did he this? Why did he that? No, we come along each other and help each other. We're called to love, not to doctrinal differences. And then he goes on in verse 12 and talks about Epaphras. It's another brother who is one of you. The name Epaphras means lovely. He says he's one of you, a servant of Christ. He saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This is how he labored for you. He's been laboring for you in prayers. This man is a prayer warrior, if you want to describe him that way. Spends time praying for you. Says he loves you guys, he's one of you. And he's been praying that ye may stand perfect. That's his labor, that's his job. That's all this man is doing. That God will cause you to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. All Epaphras is doing, his focus is with me here. He's with me. We are in bondage, chained down, but there are these other brothers that are not in the same state like we are, but are supportive of us. Some of them are of you. What is the message being communicated? Why is Paul telling us all of this? We have a master. We have a master that we are all going to respond to. We have a master that we are all responsible to. We're all working in his vineyard. And we need to bring about the proper results. Let's stop all the squabbling, all the fighting. God is not interested in that. But he's interested in people that are going to pray and ask for perfection and completion in all the will of God. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. He saluted you. He's including all of these people in his letter. He's including the guy who is of the circumcision. He's including Epaphras. He's including Justice. He's including Marcus. He's including Aristarchus. This was not about just him. It's a message about us. And he says here about Epaphras, he says, for I bear him record that he had a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. He has great zeal for you guys in Colossae, those of you in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. He's praying fervently. And then he talks about two other people. He says, Luke, the beloved physician. This is the Luke who took note of the book of Acts and put together the book of Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas is one that is there with him now. And Paul talks about Demas. But Demas is going to slip. Demas is going to go back to the ways of the world. Demas greets you. It's unfortunate that his life doesn't end up right. He has a great name, Demas. Demas means the governor of the people. That's what his name means. The governor of the people, but did not govern his life, personal life properly. He forgot who the master was. And so Demas was drawn away from God. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes about Demas. Paul writes to Timothy and tells him how he should stand steadfast and consistent. Tells him and reminds him how his faith came through his mother's mother and how it has impacted him. And says, don't let anybody reduce your status, belittle you and buy into that. And as it comes to, I think in 2 Timothy, he comes to 2 Timothy and he writes about Demas. And he says, Demas has forsaken me. Oh, thank you. Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titles unto Dalmatia. Now, the others went and they did different things, but Demas had forsaken me. He did not stay committed. He did not stay in fellowship. How hurtful that is when you've invested so much into a life and then they just up and leave. It's quite possible, in his shame, he did not even say goodbye. Just left. Just like people do in churches. You know, you see them one Sunday and the next Sunday they walked off. You think, oh, maybe they're out somewhere. You call and there's no response. They won't answer your call. And find out they've jumped ship. Paul writes here, he says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. He writes to the people of Laodicea also, but we don't have that particular script in our canon. But he writes to the Laodiceans. And then he says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas. Salute the church in Laodicea and Nymphas. Now, Nymphas is an individual, a wealthy man. And this man had a church in his house. Nymphas. His name is interesting because Nymphas means bridegroom. Just like our bridegroom is Jesus. But Nymphas is a wealthy, very wealthy man. And but it's a faithful, wealthy man who's using his money properly. And he lived in Laodicea. And he says, greet him. Salute him. Verse 16 says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So I'm writing this letter to you. You can finish reading it. Take it to Laodicea and get what we wrote out to them over to you also. And what is the point? If this is a personal letter to them, why do you want them to switch? Because we're dealing with people. People are the same everywhere. People are the same everywhere. And we need to be mindful of that. When you think about words like alien, an alien, alienated, you're talking about somebody that is different, a stranger, separated. But in the kingdom of God, we are of a commonwealth. You know, this thing called racism, prejudice, it's a dangerous thing. Because it makes you categorize people as if they were not people. Religious differences make you categorize people like as if they were not people. It's a devilish thing that is embedded in people's lives. And that we have to destroy completely. Because when you see somebody as an alien, you dehumanize them. They're not people anymore. They're just something. And because they are just something, you can treat them any which way because they're not human. By the very fact that you said they are an alien, that's an alien. You just said you're not a human. And that person ceases to be a person. And Paul, by bringing up all of these people, and say, share. He's saying, don't be strangers. You want family. We all want family. We want people. We all belong to the kingdom of God. That's why the verse about Jesus, who is also called justice, is such an important verse in this chapter and in the Bible. Jesus, who is also called justice. It's interesting that his name is Jesus. Well, Jesus is like Joshua. It's a popular name. But he was also of the circumcision. This should be somebody that we should not have anything to do together. But God says, no, that's not the way. Embrace people. Love people. Try to understand them. Stop dehumanizing people. Thinking of them as a stranger. When you dehumanize people, you will treat them wrongly. Then he says, and say to Archippus, Archippus, the name means the master of a horse, Archippus. He says, say to him, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Take heed. Be serious. Maybe a master of a horse by your name. God is calling you to shepherd the people of God with the wisdom of God. Take heed to the ministry. Take heed to your assignment. Don't be flip-flopping all over the place. Take heed, watch out, be discerning. Look after the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Why would he say something like that? Well, maybe Archippus was wanting to mess around like Demas, unserious, unfocused, nonchalant. Que sera, sera. Says, he doesn't even say, salute Archippus. He says, say to him. Say, tell him. Archippus, Paul says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. You received it. You're a real minister. Watch it. Be committed to what God has called you to, and make sure you fulfill it. Because you're going to give an account for what you do with the ministry God has given to you. Too many people don't understand that when God gives to them a ministry, he's giving to them an assignment, and they are going to have to give report for what he's called them to do. That the people he gave to you, you're responsible for them. You're responsible to teach them. You're responsible to watch over them. You're responsible to pray for them. You're responsible to make sure that their needs are being met, spiritually, physically, financially, and otherwise. As a pastor, I have to be concerned about all of those things. My concern is not just to come preach on Sunday or teach on Wednesday or lead in prayer on Friday or whatever else. My concern has to go well beyond that. How are they doing spiritually? How are they doing financially? How are they doing in their marriage? How are they doing in whatever? And sometimes it is best when people come asking for help. But sometimes you need to go. Not always, but there are times when you need to go. Let me give you an example of that. Most times when Jesus ministered to people, they came to him. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ break that principle when he saw a particular need. There was a widow who just lost her only son, the widow of Nain. And Jesus was busy doing something. He just broke away from whatever it is that he was doing, and he goes to where this woman's son is and raises the young man back to life. It wasn't because she asked or anybody asked, but he saw that there was a need here and I have to address it. In John 5, we see him go to the pool of Bethesda and he sees a man who's been there for 38 years. And he says, do you want to get well? The man didn't come looking for him. He went. And sometimes as ministers, we see what the situation is and we go by the leading of the Holy Spirit, not because the person came, but because we saw. And you pray about situations and to turn things around for people. And when we grow in the things of God, God will reveal things to us. Now, what I've learned about the Lord is that he is a good secret keeper. It takes a lot for God to tell on somebody. He will protect and cover and cover and cover and make sure that nobody knows. But when he's had it, he'll blow it up. He will tell. This is what's going on. So before God begins to tell me something about somebody, it means that he's been very patient and now I'm going to tell somebody on you so somebody else knows what I've been talking to you about. And when it gets to that level, you need to respond. Because the line, the tipping point, you're getting very close to it. And at that tipping point, there's no return. And so he's sending a warning to Archippus. Hey man, take heed. Watch over your ministry. God gave it to you. Make sure that you fulfill the assignment God has called you to. And we wrap up. It says, a salutation by the hand of me, Paul. And he says, remember my bonds. Don't forget I'm in prison. I'm still here. My mouth is still sharp. My pen is still moving. But don't forget, I'm in prison. But it is well. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, Paul is an extraordinary servant of the Father. He had good times and he had bad times. But he tells us, I've known lack and I've known abundance, and says, bottom line is, I'm thankful. No matter what state I find myself, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful no matter what. I am thankful for the privilege of knowing God, knowing Jesus. And so he tells us in Philippians, and Philippians is it's a book that we all need to study very well. He says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I press on to that which is ahead of me. I press on to the high calling, the high purpose, the vision of God for my life. I count everything else as dung, no matter what it is that I know or have, everything is like nothing. We need to have that mindset, because if we don't, like Demas, we'll forsake the ways of God. It is easy to get lukewarm in the society that we live in. It is easy. I've seen people who came to this country, who are firebrands in their countries, whether they were in Africa or in the Caribbean or wherever it is that they came from. They came into this country, slowly but surely, their flame was out. Become worldly. The guy who will not look at funny stuff is busy watching every evil. The guy who will not, will check water very well first before he drinks it, is now boozing on vodka and everything else. It's always in some happy hour place. It's gambling away, smoking away. And you wonder, are you the same guy? Forget that thing, forget that thing. What do you mean, forget that thing? That Jesus thing, forget it. Been there, I know all the scriptures. It's not about how many scriptures you know. It's whether you've been steadfast in faith, continuing in faith, pursuing the things of God with all of your heart, recognizing that there are good days, bad days, but whatever days, whatever it is that's happening, that God is still God. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. But even though that was a low time, when he overcame, he came back from that wilderness strong in power. greater than when he went in. Our heartbeat must be, let me live for God every day, one day at a time. When all the days are all counted, let me come out brighter, though I may be tried like gold. I'll come forth glorifying God, because I am reminded of the fact that I have a master. I have a master that I'm accountable to. Because if you don't watch it, you'll do like the Lord Jesus Christ shared in his parables. The guy that the master left with his servants, he said, take care of the servants. And he left, didn't come back. At the time, the guy thought he should come back, and he said, maltreating everybody, abusing everybody, because he forgot that he had a master. Every one of us must have, right at the very core of our being, this thought: I have a Lord and a master over my life, and he doesn't know aliens. He knows sons and daughters. It doesn't matter whether they are Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Confucianists, whatever it is that they are all people that God loves, and I must do everything to make sure that the devil doesn't have any one of them. I have a master watching me, and he's watching to see if I'm going to discriminate against them and say, oh, this one is going to hell. You are going to die and go to hell. Is that what I told you to tell them? Or did I send you to tell them about my love for them? Oh, but Lord, you see what they are doing? You see what they are doing? Yeah, I saw it before I died for them. I didn't call you to judge them. I called you to bring my kingdom and my love to them. That's all I asked you to do. So stop calling people whatever and making them aliens and whatever else. I love people. You were once Gentiles, all of you, whether you're Buddhists, Hindus, Confucianists, Communists, Republicans, whatever you are, you're all Gentiles. You didn't know God. But I came to make sure that you become part of the family. That's why I came. And that's the only message I want you to spread. So when we go into Pakistan, go into India, go into Africa, go into Asia, go wherever it is that we go with the gospel, it is to tell them about the love of Christ. I'm not there to tell them about all their demonic whatever. I'm there to tell them about who God is and why God loves them. Tell them about how the devil hates them, but God cares about them. Choose. If you choose God, he'll walk with you. If you don't choose him today, he will keep on trying. He'll send another messenger. But it's not my place to send you to hell or banish you to anything. It's my place to tell you that God doesn't want you in hell. He wants you with Him. Amen? So let us take that to heart and recognize that we are serving a master who's watching over us and wants us to spread His good news. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of just sharing your word today and the challenge of grace that brings us to wholeness. Father, let your peace garrison our hearts and help us, O God, to stand steadfast in faith. May we not become like a Demas that forsook your vision and purpose and pursued his own lustful thoughts and ideas. May we be fully and totally surrendered to your will, committed to your vision, obeying you in all of our dealings, choosing righteousness rather than the foolishness of sinful living. Be God in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for living your life in us and through us. Help us to be a testament of your goodness in this land of the living, and help us, O God, to reach the lost. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let us honor God with our giving today. It is good to have completed our study of the book of Colossians, and in the new year we will start with a new book. But for now, let us honor God with our giving, and let us end this year strong, deliberate, focused on God's eternal purposes. Be reminded that our Christmas Eve service is going to be on the 24th at 10 a.m. Christmas Day service will be on the 25th, Christmas Day. There will be no Christmas evening, 25th evening, Sunday evening service this Sunday. And then New Year's Eve service will start at 9 p.m. Central Time. 9 p.m. Central Time. And of course, New Year's Day service will be on Sunday, the 1st of January. That's remarkable. The first day is going to be the first day of the week, Sunday. That is not something that happens often, but we're glad that we can have the first day this 2023 as the first day of the week. And we'll let you know in the days to come what our activities are going to be in January. Normally we do have a whole month long service every day, but that's not going to be the case this year, 2023. I'll let you know what the dates are going to be that we're going to have meetings. Praise God. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And prayer service is going to be on Friday. And next week, there'll be no Bible study or prayer meeting. That is, today's what? Today's the, what's today's date? 20 what? 21st? Okay, so 21st, so next Wednesday is going to be the 28th. So there's no Bible study on the 28th and no prayer meeting on the 30th. The next service for next week is going to be on the 31st at 9. Bless you and good night. Love you. Bye-bye.